I'm going to start off with a confession this morning. Confess to you that I haven't completely been using one of the spiritual gifts that God has blessed me with because it's hard to use. And this week it kind of all came to a head as I was praying through the next sermon series that I wanted to do. I really wanted to preach a sermon series out of the Old Testament, and I'm reading a book on how to preach Christ out of the Old Testament, and you know, I've been preparing myself to do this, and at some point through the week as I was praying, God said, "You're not preaching the message I want you to preach." The spiritual gift that I'm referring to is the gift of prophecy, and I don't mean telling the future, so don't get all bothered. I'm not going to tell you the winning lottery numbers or when you're going to die or anything like that. Prophecy actually, by definition, is just speaking God's truth. And a lot of times it's speaking God's hard truth. And so that's what's going to happen this morning. I've got some hard truth to share with you. It's probably going to get uncomfortable. One of the things about prophecy that I was taught, especially as you're reading it in Scripture, is that you should always read prophecy in such a way that you are the audience of the person prophesying. It would be very easy for us to sit here this morning and hear God's word and say, "Oh, he's talking about somebody else. That's not me." So I want you to put yourself in a position of being the one being spoken to this morning. Now that could mean any number of things. It could mean that you are convicted or uncomfortable by what you're going to hear, and it could mean that you're affirmed in the way that you're living your life with the Lord. But I want you to allow space for God to speak to you however he chooses to this morning. We're going to be in a couple of different passages. The Hebrews verse is in your bulletin, and we're also going to be in Galatians chapter 4 if you want to stick your finger in both of those spots. I want to start out by giving you a definition of a word. The word is turmoil. The definition of that word is turbulence, tumult, disorder, disturbance, agitation, ferment, unrest, disquiet, trouble, disruption, chaos, mayhem, and uncertainty. The antonym of turmoil, or its direct opposite, is peace. Why am I defining the word turmoil? Because as members of a church, we are all too familiar with turmoil. Not just this church, but the church. So what causes this? What causes that population of people that have perpetual agitation and unrest? Now, I'm not talking about a disagreement, and I'm not even talking about conflict, because those things can actually be very good. As Brennan Manning once wrote, breakdowns can lead to breakthroughs. And it's okay to have God-led debates and discussions. What I'm talking about is the kind of turmoil that results from spiritual immaturity. From those people that say that they are following the Lord, but in reality, their life reflects nothing of the sort. So, first, let's look at Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. And I want us, while we're looking at these passages this morning, to consider the idea that most who never grow up spiritually will begin to act in a similar fashion to an infant or a child. There's a reason that when the author of Hebrews and when Paul and many other areas in Scripture, when they talk about young Christians, and I don't mean young in age, I mean new to the faith, they refer to them as babies, as infants. They're on spiritual milk. They're not mature. Because we all have to start out at a certain place in the journey, and we all start at the beginning. If you come to know the Lord as your Savior at age 8 or 80, you are considered an infant of the faith. And through intentionality and intercession by the Holy Spirit, we develop. Just like we do physically, we develop spiritually. The thing about infants and children is you can't turn your back on them. Because what happens as soon as you turn your back? I'll tell you what happens in my house. My kids go in the basement for 30 minutes to an hour, and pretty soon it gets real quiet down there. What's going on? And you walk down there, and it doesn't look like our basement anymore. It looks like a garbage heap. You can't turn your back on them. They need constant supervision. They need to be cared for. Not only for their own safety, but for our safety. So we have to care for them. That's one of the things that I want us to learn today, is that there are spiritual immature among us. And we have to care for them. We have to keep them supervised. We have to, for their protection and for ours, we have to identify their spiritual maturity level and then help develop them. So Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, Paul writes this. What I am saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave. Although he owns the whole estate, the heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time is set by his father. So also, when we are underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. Now, this isn't necessarily a condemnation on the spiritually immature, so don't misread this. All of us have to grow in Christ. We all start out immature, all of us. But we have to put in some effort. We have to invest in our spiritual maturity. It is a supernatural process, but it does take something of our own doing. We have to choose to participate in it. We have to put ourselves in a place to be grown. Babies are cute. They're lovable. They're huggable. They smell good sometimes. But anyone who still acts like a baby when they're full grown is looked on a little weird, aren't they? We like to watch the show America's Got Talent. And on that show, there was a grown man, probably in his 40s, who came out on stage with a diaper and a bonnet and a big pacifier in his mouth. And I thought, this is going to be some kind of a novelty act. Well, what he ended up doing is singing one of the most beautiful voices I've ever heard in my life. But he had a hard time being taken seriously because of how he was dressed. We can't act like babies when we're adults. And if you've been walking with the Lord for many, many years, but you're still acting like you just found out who he was yesterday, there's a problem. There's a disconnect there. We've got to figure out what the source of that problem is and help you get back on the path of growth. To a certain extent, we all go through certain growth periods. Physically, we start out as babies and we get to children, and pretty soon we're in the adolescent phase, and then, you know, all the changes start to happen. And then we get older and we become wiser in our experiences, and, you know, the older we get, the more we learn and that kind of thing. And the spiritual life should be the same. We start out spiritually immature. We start out infants. We don't really know a whole lot about the things of God. But we just trust that what he wants for us is good. And if it's so good, then we should take the next step and figure out what exactly makes it so good. We should take on the fullness of what God wants to have for us, in us and through us. Hebrews 5:12-14. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Are we eating solid food, or are we still drinking spiritual milk? Now, I'm a big fan of the milk campaign. You know, milk, it does the body good, that kind of thing. It is good for you. And we need the nutrients that come from milk. But how many of you are still living on milk alone, physically? Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's all you have. Why is that? Why can't we just live on milk? Because we'd die. We need more than milk can offer. We need sustenance. We need the nutrients that come from solid food. The same is true spiritually. We can't just live on the elemental things that we learned when we first came to know the Lord. I love the story of David and Goliath. I love Noah's Ark. I love all those the stories that we learn in Sunday school, but at some point we have to get to a mature understanding of Scripture, of the things that God desires for us, and the kind of life He expects us to live. It's part of the development process. So what I want to do this morning is I want to just take a look at a couple of traits that children embody physically, and I want to compare them to what happens to us spiritually when we choose not to enter into the maturation process. I hope none of the kids are offended. One of the things about kids, especially babies, is they are constantly in need of being fed. Constantly in need of being fed. Most newborns require a small amount of milk every few hours. That true, Lauren? I'm not calling Lauren a newborn, but they're not physically equipped to handle large amounts of food yet. And there are a lot of Christians who love to hear a good message or good teaching, but they can only handle it in small bites. They love their spiritual food fed to them a few bites at a time. Now, sometimes you can blame this on the speaker or the message. But the bottom line is, this is a sign of spiritual maturity. When we can't take on larger portions of teaching at one time, we get bored. Our systems can't handle it. Now, I'm not saying you should go from reading two verses a day to reading an entire book of the Bible. That's not what I'm saying. But we have to have a process of development. We have to improve our appetite for the things of God. I don't like to eat healthy. And when I first started to eat healthy, I couldn't eat an entire meal of healthy food. I didn't have the palate for it. It's a process. It takes small steps at a time. But a lot of times what we do as Christians is we either choose to stay what's comfortable with us, taking the small bites, and we do that for the rest of our lives, or we try to make too big of a leap. And we get sick to our stomachs. And pretty soon, we have a nasty taste in our mouth for this kind of stuff. We have to develop an appetite for larger bites of God's teaching. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, we have to put up with Manny speaking for an hour. Although, maybe sometimes. I mean that we have to read more Scripture. We have to pray more often. We have to concern ourselves with spiritual understanding. I'm not saying that we have to be theologians, but at some point we have a responsibility to learn the things of God. And as we learned last week, if you were at family camp, not only do we have a responsibility to learn those things, but then we have a responsibility to teach them to our children. Not to farm out the spiritual growth of your kids. Don't farm that out. That's your job. Moms and dads, that's your job. Yes, I'm the pastor. Yes, Chris is the youth pastor. But how much time do we get with them? And how much time do you get with them? So we have to help develop our own spiritual appetite and then help them develop a spiritual appetite. The next thing, kids love candy. Well, I love candy too. But the thing about kids is that if you let them pick all of their meals, they'd probably eat candy and cakes and all kinds of stuff that's not very good for them all the time. Looking at those who are spiritually immature, we see that a vast majority of them only serve God when it's convenient, comfortable, and fun. It's a sign of spiritual immaturity. We don't like to be pushed out of our comfort zones. We don't want to do things that don't have our vested interest in mind. If it requires more than I'm willing to give, someone else can do it. The spiritually immature are always looking for the fun things, but they don't want anything that even sounds like work or commitment. Part of the spiritual growth process is work. To use the gifts that God gives us for the betterment of the kingdom, not for the betterment of our lives. And it's a sign of spiritual immaturity when we only show up to the fun stuff or the stuff that sounds like that's right up my alley. We can't have a sweet tooth when it comes to ministry, when it comes to spiritual development. We have to be ready, willing, and able whenever God calls. Another thing about babies, and this is probably one of my biggest pet peeves, is that they're always crying about something. Actually, I really enjoy it when Savannah or Ava's crying because I go, "Man, you're such a baby." It's not an insult because it's true. I confess that I do have a hard time when babies cry. It's not that I don't care, because I do. It's that I have no idea what they want. If they could just talk, it would be so much easier. But they cry and you try to feed them. Well, that's not what they want. So you change the diaper. Well, that's not what you want. So you wrap them in a blanket. Nope, they weren't cold. So you take the blanket off. Nope, they weren't hot. You just have no idea what's going on. And I went through it with four of them, which is why I don't have any hair. The spiritually immature are very similar in that way. There's a lot of criticism. There's a lot of sharing of concerns. There's a lot of complaints. There's a lot of why are we doing it that way when we've always done it this way. But they're not really saying what the real problem is. It's hard to figure out how to get them to stop crying. Let's not be like babies and cry without an explanation. Let's be mature, and if we have a concern or an issue that is a real concern or an issue, let's take it to the proper people and explain the root of the problem. The root of the problem probably isn't the change. It's probably something about the change that caused a nerve to be struck in your life. This is a big one for the church because there's a lot of people that have been turned away, that have left churches, that have left congregations because of something small that could have been dealt with, but they never really explained the root of what was causing the concern or the criticism or the problem. Or they explained it, but they did it to the wrong person. Margaret talked about communication today in the children's message. Man, that's so huge. For us spiritually, we have to know how to communicate. We can't run off and tell five other people, but ignore the one that can do something about it. If you have a concern with someone, bring it to that someone. And this idea of venting, that's a worldly term. That's not a spiritual term. To entertain someone's venting is helping them sin. I just want you to be aware of that. If you're listening to someone's complaint just to help them vent or get it off their shoulders, you're helping them sin. Because Scripture is very clear on how to handle that kind of thing. If you have a concern with a brother or sister, you take that concern to them. If they don't listen, then you take someone with you. There's a reason that Jesus taught this, so that we wouldn't be mistaken by it. So let's not get stuck in that idea of immaturity of sharing all of our grievances with everyone else except for the person we have the grievance with. Like I started out this message, conflict can be a good thing if it's dealt with in the right way. And if you have conflict with someone, deal with it with that person in love and with a desire for reconciliation. Another thing about kids, they communicate only through actions. I've watched four babies grow up. Well, more closely than I've watched other kids anyway. And one of the things I remember, and it's most fresh in my mind with Cece because she's the youngest, is that before she could talk, when she would want something, she would make little grunts and noises, and then she could point. But she couldn't really tell me what she wanted. So for instance, if she wanted a cookie, she couldn't just say, "Dad, I'd like a cookie." She'd point to the cabinet where the cookies were held and start crying, which was annoying. Then I would go to the cabinet and I would open it and I would start pulling things out of the cabinet and she would say, mm-mm, which was more annoying. So there's a couple of different ways I would handle this. One is I would just give her everything I could see and then she'd give back what she didn't want. Or more often, I would say, "Go find your mom." Have you ever seen Christians act this way? Have you ever seen people in the church want something or point their fingers at this or that or the other that's not going the way they want, but they never really can communicate to you what it is that they truly want? The music isn't right. The preaching's boring. It's too short or too long. Why are we doing that this way? Why are we doing this that way? Why is that person serving in that role? I've heard all of these questions. Why? Why? Why are we here? Why do we come to church? Why do we call ourselves Christians? Why do we choose to follow Jesus Christ as our example? Is it to get our way? Is it to have a say in what color the carpet is? Or what music is sung on Sunday morning? Or who serves on what committee? Is that why we became Christians? Is that why we come here? Because if that's why you're here, man, I'm sorry, you're missing out on a lot. Because God is doing something here. And my desire, the desire of my heart, is that all of you would participate fully in what he's doing. But if all you're doing is pointing with criticisms and questions, you're missing out. You're missing out. Learning to communicate with God and with other members of his body is a huge step in our spiritual maturity. We have to learn that. Another thing, and I'm going to make this a short point because I think you'll get it right when I share it. Babies and little kids are always raising a stink. That's a pun, by the way. Many Christians who are immature in their walk with the Lord have caused great divisions within congregations, sometimes to the point of the destruction of an entire church. Spiritual immaturity carries with it a great deal of destructive power. A great deal of destructive power. We cannot let ourselves get to a place of spiritual immaturity where it's all about getting my way at all costs. Because when we get there, it's very, very destructive. Mike put an article in several boxes this morning about the friends process. There's a reason we do things that way. It's because we trust that God and the Holy Spirit can speak to a majority much more clearly than he can to a minority. We have to trust that of God in everyone. So it's not about getting my way. It's about getting his way. And we can understand and hear his message a lot more clearly as a group that desires his way. Now, we fall short of that process when we show up to things like monthly meeting or committees with our agenda in mind. We have to come to these kinds of things having prayed thoroughly and asking God, what is it that you desire to come out of this meeting? And it's okay when you're praying to say, God, this is kind of what I'd like to have happen. Now set me straight. Am I hearing from you clearly, or is this a selfish desire? Let's hold our desires, our wants, our criticisms, our concerns in the light of Christ and allow him to shine on the things that are of him and to dismiss the things that are not. That's the beauty of the friends process. We can trust God and we can trust that of God in our brothers and sisters. Next thing about kids is they have a really short attention span. You ever try to keep a baby entertained? It's a hard job. It's exhausting. I run marathons, and there's nothing more exhausting than keeping a baby entertained for 15 minutes. They can't watch anything but cartoons because their minds have not developed to the point to be able to follow a storyline. They don't have the concentration skills or the reasoning skills. There's a lot of Christians that struggle with this too. They have a role of responsibility. They get bored or they get tired with it, and pretty soon they want something else to do. So then you give them something else to do, and it happens again. And they just cycle through all of these things, never really doing much of anything, just kind of taking little tastes here and there. And the pattern continues until they run out of things to try, and then they leave. They're bored. Part of living in a fallen world is that we will make a living by the sweat of our brow. Ministry is not exempt from that curse. Just because we're serving God's plan and purpose doesn't mean it's not going to be hard work. We have to be able to focus on the things that God calls us to do. There's going to be blessing from it. There's going to be times where it is really, really firing on all cylinders. And, you know, there's times where I can't wait to get over to the church and start working on some of the stuff that God's doing. And there's other times where I'm just like, man, really? Today? But if I decided on the days that I felt like that to try something different, we'd have a problem. We have to be willing to do the things that God's calling us to do even when we don't feel like it. We have to be able to concentrate not on being bored or that it's hard work, but on the fact that God has called us to this. And even though it's hard today, the reward is greater than the difficulty we face. Babies also sleep a lot. Usually at the wrong time. Usually during the day and then they're up all night. But there's a lot of spiritually immature people that are also asleep. They're asleep spiritually and sometimes even physically. They're asleep to the fact that they're spiritually immature. It doesn't matter if you got saved in 1922 or 2014. If you haven't invested in the spiritual growth process, you are still an infant of the faith. The thing about spiritual maturity is it has nothing to do with a length of time, and it has nothing to do with your age. It has to do with whether or not you've invested in your growth process. So those that are spiritually asleep aren't aware of what's happening around them. They grasp very little of what's going on. I just said a few moments ago that God is doing some great things around here. There are some people sitting here that are going, "What's he doing?" That should be a sign to you. Because it's not that I'm making up stories. It's that maybe you're spiritually asleep to what's happening around you. And what I said before stands true. I desire for all of you to get in on that. I want every single person here to participate in what God's doing. You all have an open invitation. Every single one of you. Not only do you have an open invitation, but as a member of this church, you've chosen to be a member here. You have a responsibility to it. Here's another sad reality. A lot of our sleeping saints, those that are spiritually asleep, there's a good chance they may not be Christians. Now don't hear me wrong, I'm not the judge. But we've been watching a series, and I really like the way that the speaker of the series puts it. And I wrote it down just so I'd get it right. If there's no evidence of Christ's impact on our lives and the Holy Spirit's indwelling, isn't it reasonable to ask if that person truly serves Christ as Lord? Now listen to how I said that. I didn't say you're not. I'm just saying, isn't it reasonable to ask that question? Is it out of the realm of possibility that maybe you prayed the prayer of salvation, but the Holy Spirit never took root in your life? Is it out of the realm of possibility? Because our salvation is a whole lot more than a prayer. It's a whole lot more than kneeling at the altar. As a matter of fact, I challenge you to find the salvation prayer in Scripture. I'll save you some time. It's not there. Because it's not about a prayer. It's about willingly choosing to surrender your life to Christ as Lord. So if you aren't living a life that yields that kind of fruit, and if you aren't willingly following the Holy Spirit's leading, isn't it reasonable to ask that question? That's all I'm saying. I'll leave it at that. Another mark of spiritually mature is that they have no understanding of anything above their own needs or wants. I think we've covered that a little bit, but just to go into a little more detail, they don't care about the big picture of ministry. We have a mission statement for our church. How many of you know what it is? Without looking at your bulletin. There's a reason that we have a mission statement. It's because at some point in the history of Bangor Liberty Friends Church, a group of people got together in prayer and decided that this is what God is calling our church to do. But the spiritually immature have no concern for what God has called our church to do. Their concern is for their comfort and for their agenda. I get that God has called our church to do that, but I want to do this. A group of us have spent another significant amount of time in prayer over what we're calling our vision statement. And you'll hear a little bit about that today in monthly meeting. Now, we're submitting that to the congregation because we understand that even though there's only four or five of us, that we don't embody what God is calling us as a church to do. So we invite you to have a discussion over that. Maybe you'll affirm it. Maybe you'll say, what about this? But after that is developed, and after those that have chosen to participate in that process have had a chance to speak, and we agree together on the vision, our responsibility as mature Christians is to own that. As a body of Christ together to say, okay, this is where we're going. In our spiritual formation group, we learned that the definition of spiritual formation is to be conformed to the image of Christ for the sake of others. The process of spiritual formation is to help us become mature in our walk with Christ. So by definition, a mature Christian should have the interest of others over their own. It's not about me. It's not about making sure Manny gets everything Manny wants. It's about making sure that together we're pursuing what God wants. And finally, the author of Hebrews points that by now you should be teaching. You should all be teachers by now, but some of you still need milk. A child can't teach an adult something that they haven't experienced yet. And in the same way, a spiritually immature person cannot teach someone how to be a mature Christian. A spiritually immature person cannot be a good teacher. And the only thing that we can learn from them is, one, that we should distance ourselves from them without excluding them, and that we should do everything in our power to help them grow. But in order to do that, we have to be aware of who those around us are that are immature. When immature Christians teach, they don't pass on anything of value. Maybe this was a hard message. Maybe you're angry. Maybe you don't care. The point this morning wasn't contempt or rebuke. It was actually encouragement and motivation. I believe firmly that the call that God has placed in my life is to pastor. And the definition of pastor that I hold to is that Paul gives in Ephesians chapter 4. And I'll read it to you. To equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God. And the thing about being called to a specific ministry, like I feel God has called me to in pastoral ministry, is that you have passion. That you have deep, deep love for that call and for the people that fall under that call. So when I see people settling for immature faith and for surface Christianity, it hurts. It hurts. And maybe the reason that I've hesitated to share this up to this point is because not that long ago I had somebody sit in my office and ask me, when is it okay to correct somebody? And my answer to him was, when it's done out of love and not out of frustration. And maybe up until this point I've allowed myself to be frustrated. But I'm over it. And I'm at a place where my heart truly breaks. I want all of us to participate in what God is doing. I want all of you to take a vested interest in your spiritual growth and development. To not settle for where you are. To not call your walk with God good enough. To not trust that I'm a good person and that's good enough. But to really take some time to seek out the path of growth that God has for you. And then to take action. And I've heard excuses. And I've heard reasons and I've heard explanations why some of the people that aren't participating aren't doing it. I just want you to know that you're wanted. That you are invited, that you are welcome, that we do want you here. And it breaks my heart to hear people say, and people have said this, I don't know if I'm wanted there. I don't know if I'm welcome. I don't know if the people will accept me. The answer is yes. Yes, you are wanted. Yes, you are welcome. And yes, you will be accepted. So don't let the enemy whisper lies into your ears. There is a place here for each one of you. And if you're struggling right now with where you are on the journey, let's talk about it. I just shared with you my call. Part of that call is to help develop you to the maturity in Christ. So maybe you've fallen off the wagon. Maybe you aren't where you'd like to be. Maybe you don't really have a plan for spiritual growth. I've got an email, 2 phone numbers, and you know where my office is. Let's talk. I would love to sit down and hear where you are with the Lord and what we can do to get you back on a spiritual growth plan to help develop your walk with God. To help put you back in a place where you're seeking after the things that He desires for your life. I'm serious. Call me. Email me. Come and see me. I'm here for you. God has called me to be a pastor, and I want to do my job. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the fact that following you is a journey. And that even if we find ourselves in a place where we haven't grown in a really long time, we can start now. That through your love and your grace and your mercy and the sacrifice that your Son made on the cross, we have the opportunity for forgiveness and for repentance. To get back on the path of growth that you have for us. To get back on that journey that leads to fullness in Christ. Lord, help us to become conformed to your image for the sake of others. To be broken of our own worldly desires, our own desires of our flesh, our own selfishness. And to ask what it is that you want. And then to be willing to work for it. So Father, be with us now as we end our service and move into our monthly meeting, Lord. I pray that your will would be done. And that we would truly take time to hear from you and to seek you out. In Jesus' name, amen.